What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Get everything you need for your next project at Menards. Keep your gas-powered equipment running smooth with True Fuel. It's ethanol-free, ready to use, and extends the life of your equipment. Get a 110-ounce jug on sale now through June 14th. Shop our selection of True Fuel in-store and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hour number four of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, some good news yesterday for the Tennessee Titans on the practice field and on the injury front. Jadeveon Clowney and Roger Saffold back at practice yesterday after, you know, Saffold leaves the game on Sunday with a shoulder injury. Jadeveon Clowney did not play on Sunday because of a knee injury, and we've heard reports from Mike Garofolo stating that maybe Clowney could require surgery at some point on the knee. So I'll be honest, I was very skeptical about both Saffold and Clowney playing in this game against Indianapolis, but the fact that both of them were out there yesterday would be a very good sign to me that they're trending in that direction.
Yeah, big time. No, and I agree, I'm surprised on both to a certain extent, although we got a little clue of that with Monday's injury report on Saffold. You just never know when a guy, it looked like a stinger when he went down, but then when a guy leaves the game and is just off in the locker room, you wonder if it could have been something more than that. That's big to get him back, as we assume he's back at this point. It's not for sure. And Clowney looks like he's all good to go. So it's going to end up being Clowney playing this game with extended rest before and after it. So it looks like that's more of the plan than this idea of a surgery on this knee, which, of course, has bothered him all year, has taken practice time away from him just about all season.
So I'm of the opinion that of the two of those guys, between Saffold and Clowney, for this game specifically against the Colts, I think Saffold is the more important player to get back when you factor in a couple things. Number one, I don't think it really matters if Clowney's back in there from a pass rushing standpoint, because I think it's going to be a challenge for the Titans to get to Phillip Rivers in this game anyway. Number one, with how good the Colts offensive line is, but number two, how quickly Rivers likes to get rid of the ball. But on the other side, like, you're already in this game without Taylor Lewan. You don't want to be without your entire left side of the offensive line. And the duo between Lewan and Saffold has grown into a really, really good duo in this league. To get him back in there with some Brylo and be able to have arguably your best run blocker back in the game could be huge against this team. A Colts team that's difficult to run the ball against, but I know the Titans, if things are going well for them and the game is close like we expect it to be, they're going to try to run the ball against this team.
There's my first mute problem. It's been a while, by the way. You had
You've
one
done,
today, too. It's 1-1. I did.
It's 1-1.
It's 1-1.
It's been about a week for you, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
It's been at least a – I don't know that I've had any this week.
No, you definitely have not had any this week.
I guess it's only Wednesday. It feels – because the Titans are about to play, it feels like it's Friday. So everything's all out of whack. But anyway – I think if you look at it, you can look at it in a trio of players. You know, do you feel like it's more important to have Saffold with some Brylo or Jameel Douglas in there? How big of the drop off is that? And then compare it to the. And I know people are going to look at the Bears game and say, "Get Clowney's fine. We don't need Clowney. Get Clowney out of there. You got Wyatt Ray and Derek Roberson." You know, it's a pretty big difference to be able to have Clowney in there with Landry and then have Roberson as the third guy. But I think that you probably have a bigger issue going from Saffold to Douglas. Douglas came in, and of course, Douglas played a lot last year too, especially early in the year when they were getting Nate Davis ready. That was a pretty big drop off from Saffold to J- Jahmyr Douglas.
It is, and today could be another big day for the Titans on the injury front in terms of Adoree Jackson. I would expect him to be activated today off of injured reserve. This is a three-week mark since he was designated to return from injured reserve. Now, that does not mean that Adoree Jackson is necessarily going to play tomorrow against the Indianapolis Colts, but I do feel like he's close based on what you've told me about practice, the videos that you've wonderfully shot out there. It's just continuing to get better.
Thank you.
On a day-by-day basis from your videos out there. But a big day for Adoree Jackson and the Titans. You would expect him to be activated today.
Yeah, it's either that or he's done. So I don't know what the timing on that will be. I guess probably transactions around 3 o'clock, and then we'll see when he plays again. I'm in the business of predicting him to play week after week.
Would you like to do that again? Would you like to put yourself on the map right now and say that he's playing tomorrow?
Well, actually, I'll say he won't, and then maybe that will help Titans fans feel better, because then maybe he will, since I said he won't. But I will be surprised if he plays tomorrow, because he hasn't been out there. So then that does lead you to wonder, if he hasn't been out there at all after how he looked the last couple weeks, is there another setback in play here? Even if so, unless it's absolutely he has a season-ending injury, then I think they'll activate him today.
Have you found it strange as to how this has kind of gone down in terms of he's been out there really since the week of the Pittsburgh game, practicing, from all indications, moving around pretty well, hasn't been any noticeable signs of injuries lingering around with him on his knees, but yet has still not played in the game, has still not been activated up until this point, and to your point, hasn't been on the field this week. How strange has this thing been with Adoree Jackson, and what do you think's going on there?
Yeah, it's strange because he doesn't have anything on a knee. He's, again, he looks fine running around. So I think it's obviously the Titans being cautious, but the on the field, then off the field, then on the field, then off field thing again, that could be a plan. Every week we're seeing Dennis Kelly not on the field, but then he gears it up and plays in the game. We see Clowney not on the field, gears it up most weeks, plays in the game. With Adoree, I don't know. It is strange. I haven't seen anything quite like this before. But I think the bottom line is the Titans are being careful. They're being cautious. And the idea is to have him for the most important part of the season.
And I think, you know, I think Jared and the GM brought this up yesterday. To me, if there's any way that you can get him in a game this year, which based on what we've seen looks like that's likely. I mean, I don't think he's too far away. But if there's any way you can get him in a game to have him coming down the stretch, you got to activate him today. I mean, he's too important of a guy for this secondary to just shut down for the rest of the season if you don't have to.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, to me, if you can get him, you know, week 17, he finally plays, and now you have him for the playoffs, great. I know it's a roster spot, but I think he's that important. And as bad as this defense has been, as bad as this defense has been on third down in coverage in general, how could you not want your best cornerback whenever you can get him?
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, looking way too far ahead here, but this game tomorrow could be a huge factor in a home playoff game or a road game come January. Big time implications for this game tomorrow for the Titans. We talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. Like, if you win this game tomorrow against the Colts, all of a sudden you're two games up on them. They've got the Packers after this, and then they play you again. If you can find a way to win both of them, I mean, you've pretty much locked up the division at that point, for all intents and purposes, and not, you know, regarding something crazy happening down the stretch.
Right. I mean, if you were to sweep them, and, like, let's say the teams did the same thing in between. You know, I guess give them both an L. Give the Titans an L in Baltimore. You know, the Colts an L against the Packers. Very tough games in between these two. Then you would be up three, and they would be sitting at six losses. So you would be sitting at eight wins with the Lions and Jaguars still on your schedule. And maybe I'm being presumptuous on the Jaguars, but I love Jake Luton, don't get me wrong.
Who doesn't?
Luton lunacy takes over Jacksonville. But that's 10 that you should be able to count on, and the Colts couldn't do better than 10-6, and you've got the tiebreaker. That basically, it's over. You sweep it, it's over. Again, unless it's different result. You lose to the Ravens, they beat the Packers in between. But if that scenario played out, it's over. So you got to get this one first, because then you flip it around, you lose this one, and it's like, here you go again. Well, Titans can't beat the Colts, even when you're apparently better than the Colts.
And even though it's a different year and home field advantage doesn't mean the same as it usually does this year, we've talked about how important it is for the Titans to take the next step, get past 9-7, and win the division. I still think, regardless of the circumstances, you know, externally, outside of the actual team on the field, I still think that's important. I still think it's important to win this division for the first time since 2008. I mean, that's got to be of top of mind right now for the Titans, and a win tomorrow, and you are well on your way towards laying the foundation of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, just for the achievement itself, too. I mean, that's still something. I know in the NFL it's about getting in the playoffs and, you know, and doing something, trying to get to the Super Bowl, but winning a division is an achievement, and that's way too long to not have done that. It's not like this is – been the greatest division in football over that time, you know? I mean, the Texans keep winning the thing. It's your year to win the division.
When we come back, we'll revisit our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. How confident are you that the Titans finish with more than 10.5 wins this year? If the over-under is 10.5, where do you have the Titans finishing out this season with this schedule? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Predators Foundation needs your help towards the Smashville Donates campaign. Visit NashvillePredators.com/365Fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights Cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on silent auction items by texting PREDS to 76278. Follow at PREDS Foundation on Twitter and Instagram for more info. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the San Francisco 49ers taking on the New Orleans Saints. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning. And let's visit our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. If you were given Titans over-under odds of 10.5 wins for the season following the 6-2 start, how would you take the over and or under? Would you go over 10.5 wins? Would you go under 10.5 wins? So far, over 330 votes, 70% say over 10.5 wins, 30% taking the under 10.5. Joe, which way are you leaning?
I lean, and it is close, but I lean over. I lean to 5-3 because and that's going with the projected Vegas lines. They'll be favored, I think, in 5 of these 8. They're favored Thursday. I'm going to guess they'll be slight underdogs at Indianapolis, although, I mean, if they were to blow the doors off the Colts this week, you know, that it can all change. But when you look at it right now, I think they'll be favored to win 5 of those 8 games, which would be this one. You got the Lions, you got the Jags, you got the Texans, and you got a really tricky one against the Browns.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I think 4-4 certainly is there. And, shoot, 3-5's on the table, and 5 straight 9-7s. That is certainly on the table.
Oh, man.
I'm going over.
Which way are you leaning on this? You had an interesting point earlier in the show when we first visited our poll question on Twitter at 102.5 The Game. Maybe leaning under with Ryan Porth.
Yeah, I'm leaning under on this one, and I think one factor into it is that the Titans could have the division sealed up after Week 16 at 10-5 going into the Texans game, even though the Texans are trash. If the Titans are playing most of their backups in that game, they could easily lose that game.
So you don't have a lot of faith in Logan Woodside?
No, I don't.
Wow.
You never know. We don't know.
Probably have more faith in Logan Woodside than Marcus Mariota. Kidding. Man, kidding,
been a lot
Joe.
Of shots today.
I'm kidding,
oh, Marcus. Man.
I'm kidding.
I just want you to know that wasn't me.
Maybe.
I didn't say that.
You guys are forcing me to be like defenders of Mariota.
I didn't say
and
it.
Pruitt.
Joe Rex Road is the official Marcus Mariota sunshine blower.
He is.
No. I always with him. I was very down the middle. You know, I really was. Probably leaned a little bit of glimmer of sunshine.
Okay,
a little glimmer. But I certainly was like, oh, he's great. What are you guys looking at? He's awesome. No, I wasn't that. but you're making me be a Marcus and Pruitt defender this week. I really don't appreciate
it. Are you a Logan Woodside sunshine blower? Look, you hyped him up in training camp.
Well, did I?
Kind of. I mean, comparatively speaking to Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, I like him better than Trevor Siemian.
There you go. Does that qualify as a sunshine blower?
I will say that Logan Woodside, even being on an active roster, after what he looked like early when he got here, that's a heck of a feat. So he has improved a lot. How would he look on a field, on an NFL field right now in a game? I think you'd see how big the gap. There's no closing gap at one versus two QB for the Titans.
Let's go to Nate on Twitter regarding the poll question. Says, I see where they could get to 11, but who has contracts to play for in Houston at the end of the season? The Packers will be tough. Don't underestimate the Jags, and Colts may be a split. I'm not even touching the Browns discussion. Probably wise. It's hard to figure out the Cleveland Browns. That's a game that I wouldn't be surprised when either way. Like if the Titans came out and beat the Browns by 27, I'd be like, yep, okay. But if the Browns came out and Baker Mayfield had one of those games and they come in here and get a win, that wouldn't surprise me either. You don't really know what you're going to get out of this year's version of the Cleveland Browns.
You don't, but they run the ball really well. And they will have, I think, they should definitely have Nick Chubb back by then. And they can rush the passer. So they have some big-time talent. And, yeah, Baker is that's the key to that game.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess any game.
Which, by the way,
he's just all over the place.
He was activated off of the reserve COVID list today. So Baker Mayfield back in the fold in Cleveland.
All right.
If I were to move the over-under to 11.5, are you guys going under?
Yeah, I'd go under.
Yeah, I'm going right at 11.
I don't think they're going to do another 6-2.
I feel like 10.5 is kind of right on that line.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah, because I think it'd be overwhelmingly over if you did 9.5. And overwhelmingly under it, yeah, you hit the right number.
You got
Indy. Could be an odds maker someday.
Yeah, maybe so.
Mm, well,
obviously, Indy tomorrow at Baltimore, and then at Indy. I feel like the most likely scenario there is you split with Indy and lose to Baltimore. That's the most likely, in my opinion. Not saying that's going to happen, but I think 1-2 in the next three certainly on the table. And past that, you're home against Cleveland. Like I said, could go either way. You ought to beat Jacksonville on the road. You should beat Detroit at home. Theoretically, if you still have something to play for, you should beat Houston on the road as well. The Green Bay game, to me, is interesting because I think both offenses, even if it's like -3 in that game, which it very well could be, both offenses should be able to move the ball because defenses for those two teams at times been a little bit of a struggle. The Packers can't stop the run. So Derrick Henry may run for literally 300 yards in that game. And Matt LaFleur is doing some pretty good things offensively this year. Could be high scoring.
Did you just say Matt LaFleur doing some pretty good things?
I did.
Okay, Jared is texting me about what the Titans should have done back in the day. I hope you're listening, Jared. Matt LaFleur doing good things.
He is.
Let's see if he responds.
What is Jared saying about what the Titans should have done back in the day?
Enlighten Jeff us. Fisher. Jeff Fisher being fired and Nick Saban brought in.
Ooh. Saban. Wow.
Which, to my response was...
In what year?
Like 05.
Okay.
My response was, Players League. Saban went to Miami and wasn't exactly setting the world on fire. He's like, I think I'm going to go back to where I can just pick my players and I don't have to worry about a salary cap in a draft. So...
Well, that goes back to...
It's a Players League.
It goes back to our discussion on the choice is yours of... If there's a moment from Titans past, whether it's a game, whether it's a decision that you could go back and change outside of the Super Bowl game, because that's easy, what would it be? We had a texter text into our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and say, in all capital letters, Algie Fumbler, heartbreak. That was a tough one.
Oh,
08 against the Ravens.
At the 3-yard line.
That's fumbled the ball.
That game.
Big Algie Crumbler.
That game, I continue to say this phrase, but they pooped their pants all over the field.
Wasn't there a botched short field goal too? Am I misremembering that? I definitely remember the Crumpler fumble.
I don't think there was a botched short field goal. There was a Kerry Collins interception at the end of the first half. There was a Lendell White fumble. There was a Algie Crumpler fumble. And the refs missed a delay of game penalty on the final drive before Matt Stover hit the winning field goal.
Okay, that's, the delay, yeah.
By the way, isn't Algie Crumpler like a first team member of the all name team? Would you put him up there with the Tuzar Skipper?
I mean, yeah, but it's kind of it's just like, who wants to be named like after algae, you know?
Well, it's not spelled the same.
Right.
There's no A.
Right.
Well, I mean, so there's an A to start, but there's no A after the G.
No, no, it's spelled differently, but it's said the same.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's kind of gross, you know, but it's unique.
It is. I think your example, I didn't really think about, but it's a good one, you know? Passing on Pac-Man Jones, maybe going with Aaron Rodgers in that draft.
I mean, how many?
He was certainly available.
I mean, obviously, you don't know how everything else goes from there, but what if Aaron Rodgers, fully mature by that 08 team, what if other conditions were the same? Would that team have just destroyed the entire NFL? I think it would have.
Probably so.
Right?
Well, he would have made Justin Gage a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Gage was the number one receiver on that 08 team. That's why I brought
up. Would have been very Aaron Rodgers on brand, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would have made Justin Gage the next Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Don't disrespect Devontae Adams like that.
But okay, like, Greg Jennings.
Yeah, that's
Jordy Nelson.
Like yeah, okay.
That's right. Jordy Nelson was pretty good.
Man, we mean no disrespect to Kerry Collins, one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks.
He was very good that year. He was very good that year, right? But Aaron Rodgers, that would have been year four. He would have been like prime Aaron Rodgers with a good team around him, with a good defense.
That 08 Ravens playoff game, I think one moment that Titans fans would like to have back, outside of the turnovers and that botched delay of game call or non-delay of game call, was the fact that Chris Johnson got hurt.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson was dynamite in that first quarter, scored a touchdown, and then Terrell Suggs decided to try to fold him into a cardboard box.
And start twisting the leg. Yeah.
Then he was done.
That's right. Gosh, that was bad.
And you take Chris Johnson off that offense, it was mediocre at best.
And that's why you go back to like the Titans and the Colts, and I think, Joe, you said yesterday Titans fans should like hate the Colts more than they do. I mean, you don't really have the playoff battles with them. I mean, back in 2000, the Titans beat them in the playoffs. But
yeah, that's true. They've never, like, right, they've really never met that in the playoffs since they beat Peyton Manning the 99 season.
And then you've had the Ravens steal your heart from you twice. You got some revenge last year, but there's more of that history there with the Ravens.
We might have to ask the question tomorrow of who do you hate more, the Colts or the Ravens?
Yeah.
But it's just when you see and you know you're seeing someone twice every year and you know they beat you almost every time and – division titles do matter.
They do.
You know, I think that's the case.
I think the biggest issue you had was the balancing the Colts hate with the Peyton Manning love. There was a whole lot of Peyton Manning love around here, even when he played for the Colts.
Well, and that's what I've heard, too, is in those early years when you'd have so many orange 16s in the stadium, right? That's fine. I mean, I understand that. Peyton Manning is a transcendent, you know, Vol. But that should have died long ago. So now you make up for all those years of not hating them by hating them more.
Hate on the other side, right? Just making it up later down the line.
That's right.
And but, like, did you ever really just, like, hate Andrew Luck? Like, Andrew Luck is just such a weird dude, like a nerdy dude. Yeah. I liked it.
It's hard not to like him, right?
Hated facing him.
Yeah. But, like, you never, like, looked around. Like, it's easy, I think, if you're just a casual NFL fan, to look at Tom Brady and be like, you know what? I really don't like that guy. Even like Rodgers. Like, I think it's easy if you're not a fan of the Packers to look at Aaron Rodgers and be like, you know what? That guy's kind of cocky. I don't really like him all that much. Can't really do that with Andrew Luck. Like, he was just out there.
Like, if Philip Rivers
wins big time
Thursday, he's going to be talking all this trash and yelling. Like,
easy to hate Philip Rivers.
Then that might, you know, that might help. Think of that as the upside of the Titans, you know, losing this game, is it might increase the hatred for the Colts that should be there already.
Yeah, like Andrew Luck would throw a touchdown pass against you, and then he'd go to the sideline and read Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and he'd come back out and throw another touchdown pass. Like, it's hard to hate that.
Yeah.
Philip
Rivers is going to – he's going to say, dadgum, I just kicked your dadgum behind.
Yeah, he is. Just imagine what the conversation in this game would be like if it was Tannehill versus Luck tomorrow. Probably give a –
I think
pretty
it would have a lot more national attention.
Yeah.
See, I don't think people nationally really love watching the Colts right now. Like, they're a good team, but they're not a sexy team.
They're not exciting, yeah.
The Titans have become that sexy team.
Right.
Yeah. They've got the best three skill players in the game. And, you know, all the ads that we're seeing for the game, you've got Rivers kind of by default, and you've got Derrick Henry is, of course, the Titans' representative.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll be joined by our man Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst. A lot to get to on the ice and off the ice with Hal. We'll talk to him next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and catch up with our good friend Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst. Skillsy, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just navigating the world and trying to do the best I can on this great Veterans Day.
Absolutely. That's all we can ask for from you, Hal. So I want to start with, as you know, especially in this city and our surrounding area right now with the explosion of hockey and youth hockey in particular, you can never have enough ice. So that's why it's cool to see the Preds committing to operate two community ice rinks in the multipurpose event centers being built in Clarksville, scheduled to open in the fall of 2022. Always great to have more ice sheets around this surrounding area, right, Skillsy?
This is huge. This is awesome for youth hockey and for community. I've been, you know, I grew up in a hockey community, and most of my life was in and around rinks and being part of it. So I know how important that was to me, and it's nice to see that the Preds are doing everything they can to get more rinks, and I think they're going to really enjoy it. Now you look at it, and you have four ice centers that are in Antioch and in Bellevue, and then we can throw another one out in Clarksville. It's kind of, you know, you kind of have a triangle of hockey development that can go out in the ice and beat each other up. It's going to be fun. I think it's a huge step, and I'm pretty excited about it.
And very needed, right? I know some hockey parents, Hal, and obviously, I think it's really the sport around here. I've been so impressed with seeing how many kids are into it. And you know, certainly talk about, hey, I mean, it's tough. You get more sheets of ice, the more the better to get, you know, better ice times, things like that. I mean, how much do you think this will matter to parents around here to have another option?
Well, I know I have on my son's junior Preds 9-year-old team, there's people that are driving an hour and a half to get to practice, and that can chew up a lot of your day. So if you have a rink that's a lot closer and you can join a team out there, it just makes it that much easier as a parent. I know these parents go through a lot. It makes it easier on them. And it also makes, you know, if you build a rink, players are going to come. And so you're going to have a deeper system and more players, which means more games that are going to be local. There's a lot of travel and a lot of getting out of the city to go to Atlanta or to St. Louis or Huntsville. You know, you kind of go all over the place to find games and to play, and that just makes it easier for everyone involved to have another rink that can bring in new teams and new blood. And the more hockey, the better. For anyone that's playing hockey, they know all about it.
And Hal, it's really interesting because it's so easy now to lose track of time, and given how out of whack the sports calendar is right now, you know, normally we'd be underway in the hockey season and Hockey Fights Cancer would be front and center at the games and we'd all be, you know, obviously very aware of it, but obviously no games going on right now in the NHL. But that doesn't mean that Hockey Fights Cancer isn't happening. So whether it's the Smashville Donates campaign or the silent auction the Preds are put together, I even saw where there's an opportunity maybe to win a Zoom call with you and Pete Weber, which could be incredibly entertaining, I know.
Yeah, absolutely. I was saying on that item, you know, Pete, I could just wind him up and just let him go. He could tell stories all day and have you laughing your butt off. I think that's something that would be great. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. You know what the shame of it is? I always have November to grow my mustache from Movember.
Yes.
And try to raise awareness that way. And I'm wearing this mask, and no one can see my beautiful mustache. So, you know, it's whatever you can do. The Preds have so many things going on. It's near and dear to their hearts, so that we want to get it out there and raise money any way we can You know, it's just, it's, I feel like every day cancer affects form, you know, and the Ford Ice Center has the bell. You ring the bell if you fought cancer, if you beat it, or if you're fighting it. And I love hearing that bell at Ford Ice Centers. And, yeah, there's a million ways you can help out. So whatever you can do, please look on the Preds website. It's right front and center. They're leading the charge. And whatever you can do to help, please do it.
So you're saying that on this Zoom call, this mustache will be, I mean, it'll be in all its glory, in full bloom here.
It's glorious. And you know what the thing is sometimes you try to take a mustache and make it what you want, and then there's other times that it just kind of finds a life of its own. Maybe it grows a little bit longer on the left side or the right side. It's a little uneven. I have one of those coming in right now, and I'm not sure. It's under the mask for the most part, so it just kind of fights its way out. And I'm really looking forward to later in the month when it's in all of its glory and it can really and send out a vibe, because it says a lot about a person what kind of mustache you have. So I'd love to see, you know, I'm at Skillsy75 on Twitter, Skillsy75 on Instagram. Please, if you're out there listening, show me your mustache. I want to see it.
Any Raleigh Fingers type stuff ever?
Hey, it's just a month. Give me some time. We'll have cancer awareness year, and then maybe then I'll grow it all the way out. But I'm not sure how much my family would appreciate that.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hal, obviously a very eventful offseason for the Predators so far. Some trades, a lot of free agent signings, the draft as well already taking place. What do you made of the offseason that the Preds and David Poile have had so far?
Been interesting, huh? I really thought, you know, the Preds were going to go out and try to boost up that second line, and then all of a sudden a bunch of second-line guys leave, and Craig Smith, Gronlund, Turris, Bonino, you lose all these guys, and we're going to miss those guys, but we got some other guys that are coming in that are chippy and gritty. You know, Luke Cunningham is a young kid that I think he can fight for that second line spot to play with Duchesne. It'll be interesting. Richardson brings some grit. You know, I just think it's, you look at Borowiecki and Benning on the back end, that really rounds out the D. And there's still a ton of cap space for the Preds to make a move and find the right guy that they need to put it all together. It's kind of been weird because Poile, I feel like he was going after it, and he kind of hit the brakes. I forgot Nick Cousins. Cousins comes in, and he's supposed to be one of the best chirpers in the league, so I'm excited to see how that affects the team. But, yeah, Poile has some room. He can make some moves down the line whenever the season does start. Hopefully in January 1st we get going in whatever shape or form it is. And he's got some time to say, all right, we need this, and he can go out and get it, and he can be creative with a trade. I think he's also got some room to sign guys or to let guys go, depending on how Seattle comes into the mix. We're going to lose a good player. It's just the way the system is set up. So, you know, he can maneuver and try not to lose that good player. So a lot of things going on, but pretty exciting. I think the Preds have a gritty team that's going to come out, and more of that Predator way, that feisty. I remember coming in to Bridgestone or Gaylord or whatever it was called back in the day when I was playing, and coming in and saying, this is a tough team to play against. Every night you played the Preds, you were in one. And I'm looking forward to seeing that team come back where it's a gritty game.
Yeah, on the third defense pairing, Hal, how important is it to shore that up?
Well, it's funny. You say, all right, we have the best defenseman in the game. Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Fabro is coming in. And I thought Tenorti played well. Yannick Weber played well, filled in and got those spots. But I think with Benning and Borowiecki, you add an edge to the back end. And these guys have been around and played some years, know how to play the game, know how to play a physical game. So it kind of, I think it's important. It's it's hard. You can't just have a top four defense and expect to pull off wins, especially in the playoffs. You're going to need that 5 and 6 guy and even that 7th guy to step in and push around some players, play a physical, hard-nosed game. And it used to be like, all right, like, go out and eat up 7 to 10 minutes. And now you really have to be a good player for 10 to 12 minutes and go out there and, you know, you have your top four, but you have your 5 and 6 coming in swinging. And I think they're going to be impactful right away. I think you'll see that in the first few games. You're going to see these guys impose their will on the other wingers trying to crash the net. And that's really what it's all about. I think for the Preds, it's about protecting the front of the net, their net, and going at the offensive net. Being more of a bully.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Skillsy, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, my friend, and hope to see you very, very soon.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys. Cheers.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to what the potential schedule for the NHL could look like to begin the 2021 season. Some news coming down on that front. That coming up next. But first, week 10 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, will start tomorrow. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win, starting every Thursday and before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe, some interesting rumblings going out there about what next season in the NHL could look like. The projected starting date, or I guess more accurately, the target date of January 1st is quickly approaching. We saw earlier this week the NBA making the decision to start their season on December 22nd, so a short off-season turnaround for especially the Heat and the Lakers. I think they're going to have like a total of 79 days off or something like that. But with the NHL, it's been a minute since they awarded the Stanley Cup to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it's interesting hearing some reports right now of them trying to figure out what next season is going to look like. And I told everybody from the beginning, if you're hoping for like a big bubble experiment again that lasts for a month and a half, 2 months, and you bring in all the teams and they just quarantine, that's not going to happen. I mean, the players are not going to do that again. I don't think the owners have any desire to do that. But the idea of maybe tossing around some shorter-term bubbles and hubs is being talked about. This coming from NHL.com's Nick Kotsanika, reporting that maybe short-term hubs going and playing for 10 to 12 days, maybe coming back home and staying for a week with your family and then going out to play again, that idea being tossed on the table. Also, maybe some division realignment, making things more geographically friendly. For instance, one model has the Predators being in a division with Carolina, Chicago, Columbus, Detroit, Florida, St. Louis, and Tampa Bay. So some carryover between Central Division opponents and some crossover between some Eastern Conference opponents here. So the NHL getting creative with some ideas that are being tossed out there right now on what the season could look like as they begin play in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, overall, the fleshing out of this, to me, I think makes it feel a little bit better about things moving forward because it felt like it was just sort of up in the air,
yeah.
Right? And this is an interesting plan. Seems like a kind of a good in-between area to be. To make this work, be interesting to see the Preds with the formerly hated Red Wings.
Yeah,
playing them.
Reignite the rivalry, baby.
I mean, hey, it has not mattered.
Bobby Ryan and those Red Wings coming in the house. Oh man,
yeah, it hasn't mattered that the Red Wings have been garbage for all these years either. By the way, so, but it seems like a sensible plan, because like you said, like they're not doing that. They did an amazing job, I thought. Even though I know the bubbles weren't perfect, but an amazing job. I mean, they led sports, really.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they sort of led the way, and I thought you couldn't really ask for a more successful overall job on that. But you can't, you know, we're moving past that. And hopefully we're moving into a world of a vaccine, too, in a few months and normalcy. But that's at least most of this season is not going to be aligned with that.
Yeah, and look, they kind of kept it open up until recently of leaving on the table of trying to get 82 games in. And with the start date being January 1st at the earliest, I mean, it's just not realistic. Unless you're wanting to stretch this season out into like August again. And Gary Bettman has gone on record saying he doesn't want to do that, saying he doesn't like that. So doesn't look like 82 games is going to be on the table for the NHL this year. And the NBA coming out and saying their goal is 72 coming up. So,
and that's a goal. Remember, there's going to be cancellations. There's going to be issues. And you're not making most of those games up.
Be very difficult.
In a pro schedule, I mean, here and there you might be able to sneak one in, but you're going to lose some games. I wish they would do it. How awesome would it be every August if rather than just waiting for another round of crappy preseason games, you get playoff hockey?
Yeah.
I understand it's a huge change. It's a huge shift to do that permanently, but I'd sign up for it.
I think I'm more for it with the NBA than I would be for hockey. For a couple of reasons. Number one, I think the NBA needs to shift their timeline around anyway, because even me, a big NBA fan, I don't really start to pay attention until after football season. Like, I'll watch if the Heat are on, but I don't really start diving in until after football season. But more with hockey, it's just the ice part of it. Like, if you're playing and things get back to normal and you're playing in Nashville in the Stanley Cup final in, you know, July 25th.
Right.
Pretty hot out there. It's difficult to keep the
Tampa Bay ice
conditions where you'd like them to be when it's that hot. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Can't we just make it colder? Come on.
I'll see what I can do.
Just make it colder, man.
On that front.
Now, that was a little bit messy during that Stanley Cup final.
It was. And that was in Edmonton. So.
Well, no, I'm talking about when the press.
Oh, you mean here?
In the Stanley Cup final 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was a little warm. I remember the
Tampa Bay Lightning go. They tend to go deep in the playoffs.
They tend to, and tend to go pretty. I remember the Saturday of Game 3 here. It was like 93, and just the amount of humidifiers and everything they were doing to keep that ice where you could play on it. It was a lot. There was an elaborate setup they had going on down there. So a challenge on that standpoint. And to your point, there are going to be some challenges in the NHL, in the NBA of testing positive. Just like we've seen in the NFL, just like we've seen right now in college football. And we talked about it earlier in the show, the SEC kind of being put through the ringer right now. Tennessee, Texas A&M postponed. Auburn and Mississippi State already postponed. LSU, Alabama postponed. It's been a relatively smooth ride so far for the SEC. They've had hiccups here and then, but things starting to really collapse at one time with the SEC with these games. And now starting to look at the schedule, and particularly with Bama and LSU, trying to figure out where in the world you're going to make a game like this up, because LSU's already got a makeup game on December 12th against Florida. The SEC title game scheduled to take place on December 19th. So you're looking around for LSU and Alabama and some spots that you might play it, and not a whole lot of options right now coming top of mind, at least in my point of view, Joe.
Well, no, that's good. You're going to lose games. You've done a great job of being able to put it off. You had that extra week. You knew at some point you were going to have a conflict, and that's where you are. I mean, I don't think Alabama LSU will be played. I don't see how it gets played. I don't see how it makes sense to do all the stuff that that you would have to do to get it played. So that's you're going to start losing some games, and it's not going to jeopardize the integrity of what everybody is competing for. If you lose some games, you already have conferences out there that were going to play way fewer than you were. I do wonder this weekend, why can't CBS jump in and say, okay, we lost our game. Can we have Vanderbilt, Kentucky?
Yeah.
Take Vanderbilt, Kentucky away from the SEC network. Why not?
Well, let's add another one to the list while we're here talking about it. Georgia and Missouri now postponed on Saturday. So that
really?
means four now postponed. Contact tracing positive test within the Missouri football program. The action is consistent with SEC COVID-19 management requirements. This coming from the official Twitter account of the SEC. So now four games in the SEC affected this week. No Georgia-Missouri, No Auburn, Mississippi State, no Alabama, LSU, and no Tennessee and Texas A&M.
And Kentucky has three coaches, so Kentucky Vanderbilt, something to keep an eye on. Derek Mason said today, we're going to play this game, so he was confident. But if you have three coaches, again, contact tracing, who knows? And Sam Pittman for Arkansas is positive.
Yeah.
And they're playing Florida. Right now you got three games and you got two of them. The only game that I don't know of anything involving COVID is South Carolina Ole Miss. Maybe that'd be the solo SEC game Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not trending in a positive direction right now. And you look at, you know, Sam Pittman, Arkansas released a video Saturday night after the win of Sam Pittman in the locker room in the middle of all of his team, you know, giving a speech. Now, obviously he didn't know he was positive at that time, but you would have to wonder that as the week continues on and you get into testing tomorrow, what do those test results for Arkansas look like on Friday and Saturday as they come back into play?
Yep, and there's a lot to all this, a lot of different situations. I think bottom line is everyone needs to look at it and say, let's do a little better. You know, the post-game celebration thing, going back to Jacob Turner with the World Series,
yeah,
you just have to do things differently.
Yeah, absolutely. So going to be interesting to monitor how that breaking news continues to unfold in the SEC as we go along here. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow breaking down the Titans and the Colts, a big one tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.